You ready?
Yes.
All right. Good afternoon. This is a meeting of the State Title Setting Board. The date is September 16th, 2015. The time is 1:30 p.m. We're meeting in the the Aspen Room of the Secretary of State's office. The title board today consists of myself, Suzanne Steyert, appearing on behalf of Secretary of State Wayne Williams, Fred Yarger, Solicitor General, appearing on behalf of Attorney General Cynthia Kaufman, and Jason Gallander from Office of Legislative Legal, appearing on behalf of Dan Carton. Today, the title setting board is meeting to discuss the setting of one title. And this is proposed initiative 2015-2016, number 36. Today, the board will first consider whether the board has jurisdiction over the title. And to that end, we are considering whether the title consists of a single subject. Once the board has made that determination, if the board decides it has jurisdiction, we'll move to title setting. And there is a staff draft contained on the back table. Anyone who is dissatisfied with the decision of the board can file a petition for a rehearing, which would be heard 2 weeks from today. So with that, the first item, as I stated, is proposed initiative 2015-2016. And if the proponents could introduce themselves for the record.
This is Mike Spaulding.
There you go. It's green.
Yes, this is Mike Spaulding.
David Antke.
Afternoon. And this is a sort of continued question that we've seen a few versions of. So it looks like we're back with the public accountability of officers. Why don't you tell us what you believe the single subject is of your initiative?
Well, as the title says, public accountability of officers, and then the initiative details the way the various public officials are held accountable to the voters.
Okay.
Also, as a note, in our previous versions, we were attempting to include recalling judges, and we've dropped that because of the previous objections.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for either proponent regarding jurisdiction of the board? No? Anything? No? Is anybody signed up to speak on this issue? No. All right. Okay. Any comments?
I would just comment that I do think that with the changes made from the last time that this does now constitute a single subject. Not entirely sure that the court will agree with us this time, but I think based on the guidance they gave us in the case on Initiative 76 and 13-14, that we're now within the single subject. Part of that is there was some dicta in that case where the court essentially indicated that all of the matters addressed in that initiative related to the procedural and campaign finance stuff, and they're constituted a single subject, and that the second subject was only expanding the recall to include non-elected officials.
Right.
You know, they do also have the footnote in that case saying that there were other things alleged that they didn't get to, alleged to be multiple subjects, but they didn't get to those. They don't bind us. We're obliged to construe initiatives, you know, relatively, how should I put it? To construe the right of the initiative fairly broadly, and I don't think we have grounds to say at this point that this does not constitute a single, that this initiative 36 has multiple subjects, so I would move that we find that we have jurisdiction to set a title.
Right.
I think I agree, although there is still this provision on judicial retentions, which doesn't quite fit under the rubric of recalls. I don't know if others on the board have a similar concern, but I welcome their views or the views of the proponent.
If we look at the rubric as accountability, then that is the way we hold judges accountable.
And if I'll comment a little more on that also. I think that that's true, and that accountability in and of itself is not necessarily, you know, a too broad umbrella title. It just depends what's under it. And in the 76 case, what the court expressed a lot of concern about was log rolling, that people might not want, might want more accountability, but wouldn't necessarily want judges to be exposed to the recall process. Here, it's not a recall process, and I think just saying that some judges who now have retention elections less frequently than every 4 years would now have them every 4 years seems to me to be a minor change and in furtherance of accountability. And for that reason, I think we're okay as a single subject.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go ahead and second the motion that you put out there. Any other comments?
Nope.
All right. Then call for a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Passes unanimously as a single subject. So the board having jurisdiction, we can move on to title setting. Do either proponents have a comment on the proposed language? So for the record, this one is your proposal, or is that what we're being handed?
These are some maybe a little bit shorter, more concise versions that we can work toward. There's a couple things, and it's just because there have been several versions of this initiative. There's a couple things in the staff draft that refer to previous versions that's not in here, and so we'd want to remove that. But And the other things are just minor. There's something about reducing the number of signatures. It actually increases the number of signatures for some districts, including mine. But, and you know, it's more not about reducing, but making it uniform across all elections. So we would want to remove that, remove the text that isn't referenced in there, and then maybe tighten it up a bit. We'll get to it, but it says, what I'd like to say is defines future recall eligibility of officers who do or do not defeat recall. And that covers about two or three sentences in the staff draft where they talk about 5 years, 4 years, and some other things that all fit under how we handle their eligibility for recall, depending on, you know, what they do. But if you want, we can start with the excess language. That's the easiest bit.
Why don't you just start by telling me what you think is inaccurate?
Okay. Starting on line 3 and going to 5 of the staff draft, it talks about the government, the governor handling conflicts of interest. And that is no longer specified in the initiative. So, of course, there's no need to have it in the title. Okay. Also, shortly after that, still on line 5, there's a part about announcing retirement. And that was for the judges, I believe. But at any rate, that's also been removed. It's no longer in the initiative.
Okay. All right. Comments from the board?
No, I think you should leave resigns in. That's all right. Unruly cursor, huh? Oh, I see.
I guess the first question is what we want to work off of. I also brought in a redo of, which I think is closer to the proponent's suggestions than the original staff draft. I don't know what we want to work off of, so I think that would be question one.
What'd you work off of the staff draft?
I worked off of the staff draft.
Let's work off that.
Okay.
I think we can incorporate theirs. It's pretty short.
Okay.
So what do you have coming off this stuff?
So I've got one that shows the changes and one that's just clean below for easier reading. And you can have one as well.
Oh, you caught the change in the initiative. No. Gee.
Well, we have to use the in connection therewith, so I know you all don't like it.
No, we don't.
It's just part of...
That's good lawyer lingo, and it's not good for
a person trying to vote. It's just what we're required to put in there. So I wouldn't even call it good lawyer lingo. It's a requirement that that's how it read if we have you know, a series afterwards. Yeah, so...
All right. Yeah, I was going to replace all that with the word which.
That's not good lawyer lingo. Maybe that.
And okay, so instead of reducing the number of signatures, if we're ready to move on to that, I don't know.
Yeah, I do agree. How does it, I mean, from what I, and I guess I didn't look at it, so there are some local governments where it doesn't, it actually increases requirements?
Almost all local governments, because those elections are traditionally poorly attended. So the old way was a percentage of the people who voted, and now the new way is a percentage of the active voters.
Right.
And so they actually go up. It would make it harder to recall myself. But the other thing is that some people can be recalled with a lesser amount of votes or petition signatures just because they were elected in an off-year election, as opposed to if a legislator is elected during a presidential election where you had a huge turnout. And so we're getting rid of that
Okay.
You know, and just we want to make it more uniform.
Got it.
Well, we could use the term standardizing the number of signatures.
No, except it's still going to vary from...
From place to place.
Place to place.
It's always a percentage, except if the governor's over 100,000, then. But what did I put? I just had which outlines recall procedures and signature requirements.
So I guess that's the first question. Does the board think that that's a point we need to, that is important to the, important enough to put in, or is that something that
signatures?
Yeah, that we're changing the number of signature. I mean, whether we're reducing them, whatever we're doing, we're changing them, changing the formula.
The reason I kept it there and led with it, and my mind may be changed by the fact that it didn't always reduce. I think it does in most cases, probably, although I sort of misread it a little bit apparently. Is that, you know, there's so much in terms of these procedural things in here that it's really hard to quickly summarize and sort of be informative at all. And I guess that's, you know, what the blue book is for. But I did think that, you know, I mean, the overall, it seems like the overall thrust of the measure is to, expedite the recall process. Is that a fair assessment?
Make it more reasonable.
You know, and that some way should be reflected in the title. And if we're just, you know, kind of saying modifying and very general things, it's hard to convey that.
So what if you said simplifying recall procedures and... I don't know if it's actually simpler, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I read the thing, and I'm not entirely sure I'm comfortable with simplifying.
I just don't want to characterize it one way or the other.
Yeah.
That seems like a...
Right.
Less neutral language. I would be fine with something like specifying recall procedures and recall signature requirements or something along those lines.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's fine by me.
Okay.
Can you repeat that, please? Sure. In connection therewith, comma, specifying recall procedures and recall signature requirements.
Do we need to mention the successor elections at all? Because that's in there too.
Oh.
So I think I had, you know, something like modifying other recall and successor, and you know, whether we keep the signatures, whether we need the other, and if that's out, we just maybe say specifying recall and successor election procedures and requirements.
And aren't procedures and requirements the same thing?
I think procedures. They are.
Yeah.
I would be fine with that change plus the getting rid of requirements.
Okay.
That makes sense.
You got all the work here, Steve.
I'm sorry, repeat that one more time, please.
We're getting rid of and requirements, and we're getting rid of
And I think it's specifying recall and
successor election procedures.
Right, yeah. Do we need a hyphen there, Suzanne? Successor election.
I don't think so. No.
And then we're taking out?
Yes. So then the question is, are we taking out the signature?
I think we've then obviated the need to have the...
Okay.
Yeah, since it's part of the procedures.
So just get rid of...
The whole reducing the number
all of the way to the... Yeah.
And
I don't know about that word subjecting.
Well,
yeah, is subjecting subjective?
Right.
Makes it sound like something bad.
Yeah, I agree. I think it could be a loaded term.
I don't like being subjected to things.
Requiring
elections, judicial detention elections.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Requiring.
Yeah. Before we quite get there, one of the things I'd done when I tried to do this is, and maybe it's not important, was a little bit to me, I thought, was to sort of bifurcate this a little bit and sort of separate, say, here's recall, and it applies to, I specify, I think, state or local legislative or executive elective officers to kind of define the class. And
yeah, and put that at the end or move it.
I had it kind of up front, but I don't. But
it just doesn't.
But doesn't public officers cover it? I mean, it covers all of those details.
Well, I think a big part of this is what the court certainly made a big part of this was. I mean, a judge is maybe not in terms of definition, but to a common person reading it, a judge is a public officer. You know, for this purpose, it's something different,
okay.
Rather clearly, and that's why. I mean, it may be a little technical, but I think it's important to make clear to people we have recall for legislative and executive branch elective officers. We have more equally frequent or more frequent, depending on the level of judge, retention elections for judges, and those are two different animals, but they're both under public accountability.
And, of course, I don't want to make it more complicated, but we also have all the local governments. So where does a water board director go in that definition?
Well, then I have state and local.
I guess local would cover it. Yeah, okay. All right. Because most people local, they'll think of city or county or.
Well, maybe you say specifying recall and successor election procedures.
And then I would just say.
For elected positions?
Yeah. It applies to everybody who's elected in Colorado.
Right.
Well, maybe we should say for state and local.
For state and local elected positions?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the next clause is subjecting all state and local judicial officers to retention elections every 4 years. I think that's accurate and appropriately separate.
Yeah.
Can we say it's a positions? I mean, we're not recalling the position, we're recalling the person.
Yeah, so. The reason I use position is because we refer to both recall and successor election procedures, and the successor election is not for a person, it is for a position.
Well, there's a person that
usually
runs.
I mean, I guess the position never goes away, though.
How about officers?
Who's in it? I like officers,
that's
too.
That's fine.
Okay. So, Suzanne...
Subject requiring...
You want requiring... So I guess you'd say requiring retention elections every 4 years for state and local judicial officers.
Right.
Restructure.
Oh, come on. You could retype that, Steve.
I think you need a four.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if we're ready to move on to the next clause.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm concerned that including elective or judicial officer in a clause that deals with recall is inaccurate.
Yeah, why is that there? It looks like we added that.
Well, yeah, and I looked at that.
You could say during a pending recall or retention.
We could say defines future recall eligibility of officers who do or do not defeat recall and replace both of those sentences and not worry about the judicial.
Actually, that.
But the judge didn't first, face recall.
At first, right. Listen, I think I like that idea generally.
What's that?
His simplification idea defines future recall eligibility, because what I was thinking was sort of that the bit about if you defeat a recall election, you can't be recalled again sort of anytime soon was maybe not a central feature that we could skip, but he has it sort of covered with this in just a few words, which is probably an improvement.
I'm fine with that, combining those ideas, but I want to keep the notion of recall and the notion of retention separate because I do think they are distinct concepts.
Okay.
Yeah, and I do think we have, at least in the version I presented, the retention is addressed in the last sentence, so as a separate thing.
Yeah. Well, I like the language in the proponent's proposed draft defines future recall eligibility of officers who do or do not defeat recall. We can maybe play with that a little bit. And then a separate clause saying
the judges
defines eligibility for judicial office.
See, the some of the language we suggest is that subjects judicial officers to retention elections each presidential election, and that's the last sentence, so it really separates out the judicial from the other guys.
Yeah. Well, we could move that to the end, but if we get the language right, we can. So I would suggest defining eligibility for judicial office for judges the language of the initiative proposed initiative is defeated for retention.
Yeah, and the staff draft actually which we now have crossed out actually tracks that on the end of line 12 and 13 on the screen, and I think that's pretty clear, actually. It's a few words.
Right. It does mention the retention separately.
But I actually kind of like the staff draft.
I like the staff draft language better, okay. Too. Thank you for pointing that out.
Glad you're keeping up with all this, Dan.
This could become a YouTube channel, like the people who watch people play video games. People could watch.
It's almost as exciting, yes, almost.
And we could have our own swatting incident.
I want personal appearance rates.
So if we've already covered that, then the only thing remaining is the information on the donations for the circulators.
Does it really prohibit it, or does it just not require it?
I think it prohibits it. Okay. Because...
So you can't accidentally disclose it?
My text says prevents mandatory reporting,
yeah,
or limiting donations,
yeah,
as opposed to prohibiting.
I don't think we're prohibiting them from.
Yeah, that's a little rough.
Yeah. I mean, we get people that disclose that as an expenditure all the time.
So as long as it's not mandatory, a campaign's free to disclose it.
Right.
So.
Well, if I may, so what it actually says is to reduce retaliation and coercion, donations for recall and circulator payments shall never be identified, reported, or limited. I mean, to me, that's prohibition.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, sure, with our shall being mandatory language and never adding to it.
Mm-hmm.
I really do think it's prohibition, but.
Okay.
Well, we want to accurately reflect the initiative, so.
Yeah.
Looks clear. It's, I think, better than what we had.
My only question, and I don't know if this is necessary or not, is to explain the change in ability of what the initiative describes as government agents to stop, to cite, or arrest petition circulators. Is that captured by specifying recall and successor election procedures? This is in section 2, subsection 2 of the proposed initiative.
And is it a major part of the initiative, or is it just details of the procedure?
Right. I could see both sides. This isn't really part and parcel of the procedure. It's really affecting what local police officers say can do to folks that they might deem to be protesting or doing things without permits or whatever it is. I think they'd be mistaken, and I think that'd be inappropriate, but I go either way. I just raise it.
I guess the question is sort of how much of a change to current law is this really? I mean, I guess it is to the extent that there are, what, time, place, and manner restrictions on,
right,
circulation that are enforced.
Right.
Like on courthouse.
Well, it is. Well,
we are trying to correct some abuses that have been there in the past, so.
I mean, I guess it's a little interesting because, I mean, does this mean if for some reason, a circulator wanted to set up shop on my front lawn, so I live on a busy street corner, to circulate that I couldn't kick them off. No, I'm actually serious. I know it's.
Well, it says government joking. Agent.
Well, right. Well, I mean, I can kick them off, but if they won't leave, I can't call the police.
Yeah. No, it might.
Yeah, but it says cite or arrest for peaceably petitioning, whereas trespassing, burglary, those are separate.
It's not peaceable. I think I'm probably pretty comfortable not addressing it in the title, but, you know, I sort of defer to, I can go either way on that probably.
We have two ambivalent members, Debbie.
Yeah, I'm.
And the third.
I don't really think it's central to the.
Okay, I think it's captured adequately in the discussion of procedures for recall elections, and I don't think it needs to be called out separately in the title unless the proponent disagrees.
No.
Are we ready for a motion?
Oh, let me read it first. Okay. So what we have now is an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning accountability of public officers and in connection therewith specifying recall and successor election procedures for state and local elected officers, requiring retention elections every 4 years for all state and local judicial officers, defining future recall eligibility for officers who do or do not defeat recall, making judicial officers defeated for retention ineligible for judicial office for 10 years, and prohibiting identification reporting or limiting of donations to recall campaigns and payments to recall petition circulators.
I actually just had one.
You always
do. I
know. That's why I loved her.
No, but this one's legitimate, and it came to me because
they're all legitimate, Jason.
We had the 10-year ineligibility for judicial office. We don't have the ineligibility for recall office. I mean, I think when we're saying future recall eligibility, I don't think that gives notice of actual ineligibility to run for something else.
I was.
There's two separate numbers for that. That's why we kind of combine it, because it's 4 year or 5 year, depending on the. Whereas right. Judicial is always. I'm wondering if we should have it for the judicial. Why is it necessary to specify how many years? I guess it is a
probably
new
take more
new
words
requirement.
To say it differently under judicial.
Yeah. But yeah, they're not parallel.
Sorry, could you point me to the provision that deals with elected official eligibility post-recall? I read it. I just, for some reason, can't find it.
Yeah, I'm looking too. Okay, so Section 4, enforcement.
There we go.
I believe, yeah.
I mean, we could just future eligibility to hold office. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's.
Then you capture the right. Win and the loss.
Right, because it's different for the win or the loss, so.
Well, it's, I mean, well, yeah. The loss is, or the win is related to not being able to be recalled again.
Right.
The loss is related to not being able to run again.
Right.
So.
I think defining future eligibility for officers who do yeah. Or not defeat recalls.
Right. Then you're not modifying the eligibility so that it's for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
Right.
I mean, we still have eligibility for what, don't we?
I don't know. That's the question.
You could Fine. Say defining future eligibility for elected office for officers who
Perfect.
Do.
Perfect.
Okay. For elected office. So that provision changed to defining future eligibility for elected office for officers who do or do not defeat recall.
That works. Okay, yeah. And with the judicial, we just specify what that is exactly, but close enough.
Right.
Well, and it's also only one-sided, because with the yeah. Judges, they don't get essentially a break
right.
From retention for surviving.
Right, still every 4 years, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any further comments.
Anything, Jason?
Nope.
Okay. Want to make a motion?
Sure. Do we want to read again?
I read the one sentence.
Okay. Then I would move that we adopt the modified staff draft for proposed initiative 2015-16 number 36, as it appears on the screen, has been read into the record as the title for proposed initiative 2015-2016 number 36.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Passes unanimously. And that concludes our agenda. We're adjourned.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.